Hey, this is Hal Hester. I'm the pastor of Vineyard Christian Church, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on how God is moving in your life. Please enjoy the message.
All right, so this morning's going to be a little different. Normally, if this is your regular church home, you know that I will read an entire chapter thereabouts and then teach on that text. But once a year, we take time to, you know, review the previous year and reflect on how we're doing with regard to fulfilling our vision, our mission, and our values. Because a lot of times, you know, churches will do that at the beginning of the year. They'll have a big production, and then what they do is they promptly put that on a shelf, and then we never discuss it again in case we miss the mark. Because we on to other things that God is doing or something lofty like that. Anyhow, truth being, we think it's really important to take time to reflect on that. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. And then I want to invite you also to join us in 2 weeks, February 23rd, after this service. We're going to have a congregational fellowship meal. And what I'd like you to do is if you would bring a dish to share. And then during that meal, I'm going to share with you about 2020. Sound good? I'll take that as a confirmation from all of you. Okay. Well, we'll see who shows up. But anyhow, I would love for all of you to be there and get any questions you have answered. But for the time being, we're going to dig into 2019, take a look. And if you will, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6, a little bit smaller text this morning. Galatians 6, beginning in verse 7. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Please follow along in the translation in your lap. That's my favorite one because that's the one you're reading. Let's take a look. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, and we read these words. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that also shall he reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh reaps corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will, from the Spirit, reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, but in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Blessed be the reading of God's holy word. So the obvious, you know, if you're going to talk about what happened over the last year, easy segue, you know, a text on sowing and reaping. And, you know, I think it's important to have those discussions on sowing and reaping. It's not karma. It's consequences. When you do certain things, things come back at you. Your life, life happens not an exception to what we do, but in a direct result of what we do. And so, you know, it's important to have those discussions. But actually this morning where I really want to kind of focus our attention this today is on that part where it says, do not grow weary in doing good. In fact, actually, it's kind of my theme verse for the year for me personally. Now, I don't know how many of you know that, but if you've been around for any amount of time and heard me do this State of the Church address on a regular basis, you know that I generally take about a month or so each summer to spend praying about the upcoming year, specifically laying out our messages ahead of time, things like that, goals that we have, and just really seeking the face of the Lord to make sure that we are on track in any way that we might need to adjust to get us back on track. And so this past summer was really different, though. I had some time away and was praying and kind of got to the end of my time away and praying, expecting to come back with, you know, everything kind of laid out. And instead, I found myself still waiting on the Lord, you know. And so I was like, well, okay, you know, we can, you know, I mean, it's not my timetable. It's your timetable, God, you know. And so I continued to pray and another month went by and I started to think, you know, what's wrong? Something wrong? Is there sin in the camp? Have I done something wrong? And, you know, I was examined those things. No, it didn't seem to be that there was anything wrong. You know, I was still hearing from the Lord clearly about things in my own life and about for other people in the church and things like that. So I was still hearing from the Lord, but there was this silence on the topic of the next year. And so I thought to myself, well, is it because there's some dark event that, you know, the Lord doesn't want to reveal to me that, you know, we're going to deal with some tragedy or hardship, you know? And so I was praying about that and asking the Lord. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I live in the United States of America where there is not much silence. Hello? Have you noticed that? You get in your car and, you know, as you turn on the car key, that second of silence just before you turn the key, and then the song comes blaring on that you left when you got out of the car because you were jamming on your way to church, you know, getting your worship on or not. And everywhere we go, we've got music, we've got things happening, there's conversations, and we are constantly bombarded with messages all around us, advertisements, you name it. We're just very, as a whole, uncomfortable with silence in America. And, while I've been trying to really craft that in my own life to find those times of silence and everything, the truth is that I'm still a product of the world I live in. And so sometimes silence is a little confusing. Like I'm expecting the answers. I'm expecting God to speak in that moment. And when it doesn't happen the way I think it should, I get a little edgy. I start to wonder what's going on. So finally, in September, I heard very clearly from the Lord. Here it was. Last orders are standing orders. Complete the tasks I gave you last year instead of looking for something new. Do not grow weary in doing good. Now, you got to understand, this is important here. I went to Bible college a really long time ago. Like 30 years ago. Anyhow, since I was in a young man in Bible college and all my years of preaching, preachers have been talking about 2020. You didn't know that, did you? No, preachers have been talking about 2020 for a long time. Because why? Well, if you have good vision, you have 2020 vision, right? And so every preacher's been waiting to tell the story of, I've got the 2020 vision for this year, you know? And you've been waiting to tell that. And I get, do not grow weary in doing good. Like, hello, Lord, remember that, it's 2020. Did you know that? I mean, I don't know if you do our calendar, but, but here's the thing. God did not call you or me to be cool or slick, but to be faithful. And in particular, he calls all churches to be faithful to that key mission. You know, the key mission is simply this. It begins in two greats, the first being the great commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It is the great commandment. The great commission is simply this, that we would go into all the world and preach or share, convey the good news of Jesus Christ, teaching them everything that we have been taught ourselves and obeying those things, teaching them to obey them until the very end of the age. The heart of that is the heart of what the mission of every church is. No matter how many ways we word it or how many different things we put, the vision of the church is more specific to your unique context and things like that. But the mission of the church, the heart of what the church is supposed to be about, is unchanging. We find ourselves committed to this unchanging mission. And so as the mission is unchanging, the vision is time-bound and needs to be sometimes adjusted. Part of the reason it needs to be adjusted is simply this, is that there are unique gifts and callings of individuals in this room right now. As I believe strongly the idea that God has placed every person in the body, and when he places them there, he does so because he's bringing their gifts, their talents, their abilities, their resources, their knowledge, their experiences, their maturity or their need for maturity into that body so that the church can be built up to do the works that Christ has prepared beforehand. It is an important part of us becoming the body of Christ who we're supposed to be. And then as people are using their gifts, then God begins to shape and adjust and bring us along to further fulfill the vision. In fact, there are some things in our vision that I regularly think to myself, okay, God, that's a wonderful vision. How's that come about? I don't see those particular gifts and callings in our body, and yet I believe you for those things, and so we're waiting for those things to be revealed. It's why it's so important that every member of the body of Christ knows what their spiritual gifts are and then functions in them. It was kind of funny earlier when she mentioned the whole thing of receiving gifts and about the whole idea of regifting, gifts we don't really like, gifts we do like, and things like that. And I thought it interesting, sometimes we give gifts And then later on, we find out that somebody has regifted them, that awkward moment. Have you ever had that happen? You know, I had a situation a number of years ago. I got this really cool gift. Somebody in a prison had made it, and it was the Gospel of John in an arch. You know, it was this beautiful thing. And then they had highlighted different words, bolded them in different places until it was a picture of Jesus preaching. It was a really cool thing. I mean, it took a lot of effort and time and energy to get that text right down to that, you know, perfect shape and everything. I mean, it was really a lot of work. And so somebody gave me that gift. But, you know, over the years, some different things had happened. I decided that we weren't going to have that picture in our house anymore. But we had some friends that I thought it would really bless. They liked stuff like that in particular. And so I thought, well, you know, that'd be really nice. They would enjoy that. It's beautiful. It's hard to get. Where are you going to get another one? And so I gave it to them as a gift and was very excited to do so because I knew that it blessed them. They were excited about receiving it and everything. With no thought of the fact that a couple of months later, a good friend of mine from Bible college, when I received that gift, came to visit. And we just had a small group and we were worshiping together and having a great time when he walked up and he goes, "Hey, that's really cool. You have one just like this, don't you?" He goes, "I didn't see it at your house. But I remember you have one just like this." And I was like, "Well, you know, it kind of looks like it, doesn't it?" He's like, "Yeah, same frame and everything." He starts telling the details of the, and I'm like going, "Just shut up." It was a very awkward moment. You know, but here's the thing that I think about in all of that is that, you know, the Lord knows the gifts that he's given you. And he intentionally places you in a body, not just simply so that you can soak up and feel good and all this kind of stuff, but he puts you in that body so that that church can complete the mission and the vision that he's given it. Amen. And when we decide not to do those things or even bother to discover what those things are, I mean, you do realize he knows that you don't like your, or didn't bother, right? I mean, that's that little bit of an awkwardness, isn't it? I mean, God has given you gifts and put you together in such a way. In fact, we even have a class that we have called Design. It's talking about what the desires that God has put in your heart, about the experiences that you have, your spiritual gifts, your individuality as a person, you know, because everybody is different in their individual makeup. It talks about your spiritual growth or the lack thereof and knowing just how what your maturity level is. It's understanding what your natural abilities is, how God designed you, how God put you together for the purpose of serving the cause of the kingdom. Now, I know it could be self-serving for a pastor to talk about stuff like that, you know, and to like build our own little kingdom. But can I tell you that conceptually, the idea that God is the one who puts the body together, that the truth is that the reason you need to discover your gifts, the reason you need to know why God brought you here is so that you can fulfill your mission and grow up in the image of Christ. And apart from that, it won't happen. So it's really important for a church to be not only on task with its mission, but to be on task with its vision. And if we don't have those things, then it's very difficult to fulfill the vision that God gives us. It's important that we do not grow weary in doing what the Lord has called us to do. Now, the last part of that is values, and the values is that whole thing of where we look at what are the things that as God has put that body together and given them those tasks to do, is that how they accomplish those things is the values. It's the way in which we express those things. And so those things also can be something that we can refine over time, but ultimately that mission doesn't change. And so then what we do with vision and values is as we respond to his leading, looking for the way that he wants to fulfill his mission here among us. So that in mind, let me recap a little bit of last year in the way of review to get a good picture of what God has been up to and how we've responded to his leading. And that begins with the word refinement. That was our word last year as we were praying and seeking the Lord and felt like the Lord was saying it's time for refinement. And so refinement, you know, really the best picture I know of refinement, you know, Paul talks about this idea of refining gold. And that under heat and under pressure that, you know, the precious things are purified because the dross, the bad stuff, the stuff that you don't want in the precious metals rises to the top and that it can be scooped off. And once all the dross, once all the impurities are out, one of the things that's amazing is that the person who is purifying that gold will be able to see their own reflection undisturbed. And see, that's what God's heart and desire is for you and I, is for you and I to, through the trials and difficulties of life, through the pressures that we go through the fiery things that we go through, is that God is refining us to bring us to a place where he can see his own reflection in who we are. That's the key concept of refinement. Now, for us, refinement was about a couple of things. It was about working on our sound and other systems, also people systems, stuff like that. So sound, systems, and signage. There's a whole laundry list of purchases, upgrades, training that we needed to do, that we felt that we needed to follow in order to be able to go on to the next things that God had for us. Now, it is key to my understanding that those things needed to be completed before we could go on to what's next. So it shouldn't have been any surprise to me, really, in that time where I was sensing that quietness and couldn't figure out what was going on, is that, you know, simply this: did you finish what I gave you to do last year? And the answer was no, we didn't finish the refinement process. Now, part of the delay is this, is simply in when it comes to systems and people systems, we've been doing things to train leadership and to get us all into a different place as leaders. One of the things that we've been talking about and started early on in that discussion was the importance of church health versus the concepts of church growth. Most of the world is worried about church growth, and we consider if something gets big, then it makes it healthy. And that's really not a very healthy view of church health. See, the problem is this, is that cancer grows, but it doesn't mean it's healthy. Anybody here want cancer? Nobody? No takers? Imagine that. See, something just being big or growing out of control doesn't mean that it's healthy. On the other hand, not growing doesn't necessarily convey health either. It's not an either or kind of thing. Instead, church health is the things where we ask the questions about, are people becoming functional disciples of Jesus Christ? Are we following him closely and doing the things that he does? Are we making other disciples? Because inherent to the definition of being a disciple of Jesus is that disciples make disciples. And so it's really important for us to ask the question, are we healthy or are we just swelling? Are we healthy or are we just becoming moralists? You know, one of the dangers for the church is for us to slip into just moralisms, to be all about just kind of existing, trying to keep our noses clean, doing the right thing, saying the right thing, wearing the right things. We can develop a whole culture around micromanaging one another over stuff like that. It does not bring life or health. In fact, it drives people away. It's called legalism. But church health is where we ask the question beyond the numbers and the nickels and the noses is, what's happening? What things are taking place? Are we growing? Are we maturing? Are we becoming more like Christ? Are we loving more? Are we more patient, more kind, more generous, gentle, turning away wrath? Are we the kind of people who bring people up or the kind of people who tear people down? Are people regularly drawn into a relationship with Jesus Christ because of us or in spite of us? And so refinement, as we've been talking about that with the leaders, has been primarily about these issues of church health, making sure that we're on the same page, that we're talking about the same things. Because when you say church health, everybody says, well, of course I want a healthy church. But what does that mean? How do we discuss that as a team to make sure that we are providing a healthy environment for the body of Christ to grow? So that's part of the process, and it's an ongoing process. Part of the delay was simply that, as we threw out those things for refinement, we knew we had a target financially that we needed to hit, and we didn't quite hit that. We had some people give additionally and different things, and we got most of those purchases made, but not all of them. Some of them, just simply the money came in at the end of the year, and we actually, one of the things we just got in the last month was we got our AED, a defibrillator, that for safety in case someone had a heart event here and needed electric shock. We now have one of those. We need to install it, but I'm glad that we got those things. But there's stuff like that that we were just putting in place, making sure that we're taking good care of the body. There's other reasons. Sometimes the cost went up, and it just escaped our grasp financially and our ability to do that. So there's a number of things that went into that. But the truth is that while we accomplished most of the things on the list, we didn't accomplish everything on the list. Air conditioning is most of our air conditioners here are 22, 23 years old. And so we've been in the slow process of not only fixing air conditioners, because they had like a 7-year rest when the building was empty, but that's not exactly a good thing for air conditioners to sit for 7 years. So we've been recovering from that. We've been trying to fix those things. We're going to need some new air conditioners, and so we've been saving up and putting money aside for those things. That needs to be done. We upgraded a big part of our sound system. We put in new speakers so that the other ones weren't so tinny, and uncomfortable. We still need to upgrade our soundboard, but we're on the right track. We fixed our ceiling, so a whole bunch of stuff wasn't dangling down and things like that, and made it look a whole lot better. We still have some minor work in that ceiling, and I could point that out, but then you'd be staring at it the rest of the message, so not going to do that right now. But there is some moving of some electrical lines and fire alarm system lines that need to be done, and those things require special talents and therefore payment beyond what we've collected. So we'll get there. Now, some cool things happened. We got signage next to the lobby doors and over here by the church office door so that you know which entrance is which. And it's not only been, nice for everybody here, but the police have told me several times they're really grateful we did that because they know which door to come in now. So, and the fire department and things like that. One of the cool things that happened is we put that signage and then we put the signage over the lobby doors there was we went back to a company that we had done business with before. I try to do everything local because I want to build those relationships and because I think it matters to small business in our community and we want to be a blessing. And so we went back to the same company that we had done business with before. Now, last time there was a little complication, a snafu, and they unfortunately had to remake a big part of the sign over the door out here. And so there was this little, struggle over that, but they did the right thing. So when I went back to them, the first question out of their mouths was, "We remember you, but we also remember we messed up. Why did you come back?" And my response was, "You made it right. How could I hold that against you? You did a fantastic job. And so we want to continue to do business with you because you did the right thing. It was one individual and you fixed it." That impressed them so much, they put the daughter's owner on the job. And not only did they do a fantastic job, but they even gave us a really nice discount. Isn't that cool? Listen, building relationships matters. And I think it was significant in that discussion. And so we're grateful for the discount. But more than that, can I just tell you that I'm excited that we blessed a company in our region. They blessed us, and we're building some relationships with them. And I think those are good things also in the process, whether we intended them or not. Now, this past year, we had 22 baptisms and 6 child dedications. Now, as I said before, numbers don't tell us everything, They're just like when you take a thermometer and you put it in somebody's mouth. Or I guess we don't do that anymore now. We scan their forehead. But, when you take someone's temperature and you get a number, it just tells you part of the story. All it tells is, do they have a fever or not? It doesn't say why or whatever. But here's the thing. As I look at that, 22 baptisms this past year and the 6 child dedications, those seem like fairly good indicators that we are continuing to make real efforts to disciple people and to raise our kids in an environment that they are supported and cared for and loved and prayed for. It doesn't tell the whole story. We need to see the continued fruit. We need to make sure that those 22 baptisms, turn into fruitful lives, people walking with Christ. We need to make sure that those 6 children really do grow up in the admonition of the Lord. And it's our responsibility as a congregation to help see that come to fruition. So I'll keep you posted, but I'm excited about the fact that that happened this year. We have, of course, baptisms coming up again on Easter. If you're not aware, if you haven't heard me say this before, you know that Lent originally was the 40 days before Easter, a preparation for baptism. It was a time in which they would spend with those people who were wanting to dedicate their lives to Christ in baptism, and they would spend time with them going over basic teachings, and they would go over things and help them renounce stuff in their life, pull their life together. It was a time of great spiritual searching. And then on Easter morning, they would, at the break of dawn, they would go out, and the men to one place and the women to another place. And they would baptize them. They took the men to one place and the women to another place because they didn't wear any clothes. It was symbolic of new birth, and so they didn't wear any clothes. We're not doing that part. Okay, okay. But we are doing baptisms here, and we would love for anyone that's wanting to be baptized to have those conversations. They're important. We're going to do that this Easter. And then, of course, on Mother's Day, we'll have our next baby dedication, child dedication. And so looking forward to that. This past year, we had over 2,000 people join us for the Brooksville barbecue. The team did an incredible job again this year, but I thought this year was probably their best year yet. They keep making it better and better. They did some incredible stuff with new signage and different things, made it really, welcoming. But can I just tell you, my favorite part was this, is that seeing so many of our folks engage with the people in the community. See, the purpose of having a barbecue isn't to be cool. The purpose of having a barbecue isn't just to try, some kind of goofy advertising stunt or something like that. The point is for us to build relationships with people in our community. I don't know about you, but when I came to Christ, it wasn't an overnight thing. It wasn't like somebody shared with me the 4 spiritual laws and I just decided that day. In fact, in truth, I had those things told to me again and again and again and again. But it wasn't until someone bought into my life and began to walk and do life with me, actually in some very difficult times, that then those things began to make their deposit and I came to Christ. Looking back, I thought to myself when I came to Christ, wow, why didn't I listen to that before? Like, I mean, other people have been telling me this for years. Like, why was I so resistant? And the answer is that they weren't discipling me. They were just telling me what they had to accomplish what they thought was the goal. But when they bothered to make a disciple of me, to walk in my shoes, to do life with me, that was the place where I was able to hear the words that were spoken and receive Christ. You see, for the last 100 years or so, the church has been trying desperately to get the job done through giant events and just trying to all the one-hit wonders. But can I tell you, it's not been fruitful. We have a lot of people raise their hands at conferences and big evangelistic events and never walk it out. And in the United States, the church is suffering because of it. But globally, the church is growing. And why? Because in all those places where they can't have those big events and get people to raise their hands, they're doing what Jesus did, walking through life with the people around them and teaching them the gospel. And that's where the explosive growth is happening around the world. See, it seems slow at the time when you make disciples instead of preach at people. But let me tell you what happens is when one disciple makes another disciple and they become 2, and because they've made disciples, they're going to continue to. And so the 2 make 4, and then the 4 make 8. And the 8 makes 16, and the 16 make 32, and the 32 makes 64, and it's called explosive growth. And it's happening all over the world where people are just making disciples instead of trying to skip out with big events. When we make these big events, It's not so that we can preach the gospel. It's to build bridges with our community. And the way it really works is when you give your lives through those events, not just to hand a sandwich, but to bother to get to know our friends, our neighbors, our community, build those relationships. It reminds us to get outside of our own four walls and to recognize that the way the world is around us and to build those bridges. And so I can't tell you how much I appreciate when you take time to do that. Our next barbecue is October 4th. And the truth is, next weekend, Nick Lipidoroff and the team will be starting to meet to get ready for that date. People ask me all the time, why don't we do more of these kind of things? Because we start now in February getting ready for October. And if I start piling more of those events on, somebody's going to string me up, okay? So, but realistically, look, it takes a long time to get these things together. But we were able to not do a fundraiser for our church. Can I just tell you, the world just really isn't impressed when we do that. I mean, we know the God of the universe who has everything that we need. Why do we have to go beg from the world for what we need? There's something inherently wrong with that. And the world knows it. So what we do is we give that barbecue away. We invite partners to come alongside of us and to work with us. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, we spend the most money. We provide the workers. And we build an opportunity to build a relationship. But at the end of the day, church, the thing that's so much more important than the barbecue is, who do we get to know? Who do we spend time with? And so we can't do it without you. Outreach is dying in the American church. And so participation is, I think, critical to us building bridges with our community so that we can effectively do the Great Commission. So we also do our Christmas parade outreach. We supply water and help those who park here at our facility. We give them an opportunity to go to the bathroom and things like that. Little things, but you know, we had over 20 people walk with that float. We had an award-winning float, which is, I guess, neither here nor there, except that it's really cool. I like that. It's exciting. But you know, when Jen's putting together that team and those people to do that, it's really important. It takes more than just a handful of people to pull that off. And so I would encourage you that to make some time in your schedule and to be a part of that. Build and help us build those bridges. But, you know, honestly, we start working on putting all that together in July. So you realize, like, October through December are, even though you may not see it, is very busy time around here. And I just tell you, Thanksgiving to Easter is an extremely busy time around here. And it just takes partnership. It takes everybody using their gifts, their talents, their abilities, and building those relationships. Because otherwise, what do we do it for? If it was just to be the coolest church in town, then let's close the doors. Speaking of all those volunteers, I am so excited to share this with you. Did you know that we had 200 unique persons invited to our volunteer banquet? Now, let me put that in perspective for you. We have about 300 people who call this church home. That means at least once, two-thirds, or 66% of this church participated, volunteered, signed up in such a way that we have record of it. That means that two-thirds of this congregation is actively engaging in ministry. That is really cool. See, scholars tell us that the average church has less than 20% of its people engaged in doing any kind of volunteering. They say that it's impossible to get much beyond the 30%, and we've got 66% of our people really engaged in doing that. I think it's not because in spite of what we've done, but in direct result of, we keep talking about these ideas of spiritual gifts and using your spiritual gifts and being engaged in the ministry and making disciples. And as I believe that if we continue to do that, and if we continue to be intentional, and if you will be responsible for your spiritual growth and not wait for the church to do it for you, because you are the church. And if you will be responsible for your spiritual growth and allow us to help facilitate that, and we continue to grow, you know, who knows? Maybe just like the first century church in the book of Acts, we could see 100% of everyone volunteering, engaging, doing the work of the ministry so that we might be the church instead of going to church. I think that's a vision worth pursuing. I think it's possible. But in the meantime, can I just tell you that 66%, my hats are off to you. Thank you for doing the work of the kingdom. All right. Another thing I want to share with you I'm excited about. We did not go into debt. We did what the government refuses to do. We lived within our means. Listen, our only debt as a church, our only debt is this building. And that's only because it was cheaper than renting. As you look at this space right here that we're in right now, when we were looking at space to rent, a space this size to do everything in would cost more than what our mortgage payment is now. In fact, we give more than our mortgage payment, and we still, with insurance and all that other stuff, it doesn't cost us as much as it would cost us to lease 6,000 square feet. So we thought it was a good use of God's money to purchase a facility where we could gain some value out of it and that we would actually pay less during all of it. Right now, we're not only paying that off, but we have increased our giving, our schedule and everything else. And our principal right now is below $500,000. Now, I want you to consider this. We have 5 acres of land and over 100,000 square feet under roof between all of our buildings. If we just rebuilt this building right here, just this building on this land without purchasing the land, it would cost us over $3 million to reproduce this building. And if we had to buy the land and build everything we have, we'd be looking at cost of over $13 million. We owe $500,000, and the schedule is to pay it off by 2034. We will actually have it paid off here in the 20s because of your financial team. Yes. Can I just tell you, we have an amazing board who looks out for us and cares for us financially and takes care of those things. So could you just give, let's just give them a hand, shall we? So, I mean, this really is God's gift to us that we didn't have to pay all of that. And, you know, every little improvement we do, it's just so much cheaper than if we had to rebuild all of this stuff or build it from scratch. As well, the board and the financial team has sought to honor God's, you know, gifts, making sure that not only do we take care of our facility, but we account for every penny we receive. And in the way of accountability, every year we have an external review by Steeple Accounting. We want to make sure that our finances are not only accurate and following the law, but honoring God. And so I'm happy to report to you that at our annual review with Steeple Accounting, it was stellar. In fact, she said to us, the principal accountant said to us, "The Vineyard is my favorite appointment every year because you're always working on the cutting edge of compliance, not only doing what you absolutely have to, but getting prepared for the things that are coming up." And so she said, "We are her favorite appointment." That's because of the team that we have here, and I am so grateful for them. So we are making real headway in those things. We're staying ahead of things. We're staying out of debt. We don't borrow money for anything except the building. We're living within our means. And I am just so excited to share that with you. Also happy to report to you that we're making real headway in accomplishing all the goals of our vision. On task with the mission of the church. Several things that I haven't even begun to address, and I'm running out of time so I won't go into details, but we will talk about that more in depth as we talk about 2020 at the supper in a couple of weeks. Some of our refinement goals, like I said, have not been completed, and I do think it's important that we finish those things. not only because of the simple mechanism of just saying, hey, you can't go on to new things until you complete the things that you already promised that you would do, but also simply because those things need to happen for the sake of our well-being. Later today, I'm meeting with our ministry leaders to talk about those things in a little more detail. We have a meal that we're going to talk over some things. And then, like I said, in 2 weeks, we're going to have that fellowship meal. And I would love for you to take time and be here. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, what do I need to know all that stuff for? And the truth is it probably won't change the outcome of your day or your walk with the Lord or anything else, significant like that. But what I want you to feel is a sense of confidence that, one, that we really are listening to the Lord, number one. Number two, that we really are being faithful with the money that you give us, that we are not squandering that. You can ask questions and everything else, and we'll give context to that and answers. And so I would really encourage you to hear those things because I want you to invest, not just financially. I want you to invest with your heart, your life. I want you to be committed to making disciples of Jesus Christ together. And if you can't do that here, by all means, I want you to find the place you can. See, I'm not building the kingdom of Hal Hester. I don't want the kingdom of Hal Hester. What I want us to do is build the kingdom of God. And if you can't do that here, then by all means, find the place where you can. Do what God created you to do. Follow after him. And so come get the answers that you need. Whether that says yes or no, I'm happy that you're following after God. That's the most important thing. So we're going to try and stay on task. We'll make sure not to take, shortcuts along the way. In fact, as we look at that, that text of reaping and sowing, all those pictures from the harvest. Listen, it's important that we prepare the soil, that we sow good seed, and that we tend the garden of our hearts. Because ultimately, that's where everything else sprouts from, who we are in Christ. Bad trees don't produce good fruit. Good trees don't produce bad fruit. So we need to tend the garden of our heart, make sure that we have a good place, good soil, good roots, so that we can produce good fruit for the sake of the kingdom. Because here's the problem with shortcuts. In the moment, they might look good on the outside, but listen, the whims of the flesh, instant gratification, never brings forth the harvest of righteousness, Paul says. And see, I recognize this, that you and I live in an instant gratification age. I mean, we got Amazon overnight. Forget overnight. Now, sometimes they deliver it the same day I order it. Like sometimes I'm talking in a room and I pick up my phone and there's the ad on Amazon on my phone. And I, We have instant digital download of content. We live in an instant gratification world. And I don't know about you, but I'm just not the most patient person in the world. It does not help when the world feeds me the instant stuff. And what I know is this, that the ways of Jesus can seem very foreign. God's way is often slow, deliberate, methodical, and terribly inconvenient. See, he's using, remember that process of refinement, he's using the trials, the pressures, the things in our life to change us, to conform us into the image of Christ, so that he might see his reflection in us. And so all those things that are so terribly inconvenient, all those things that take time, that's the place where you and I are growing into the image of Jesus so that he might purposely and patiently shape us into the image of Christ. And so that's the invitation. Do not grow weary in doing what is good. It's fundamentally important to who we are in Christ. Let's stand together. So let me say to you today, if you are here and you find yourself struggling with that whole thing of waiting on God, I get it. There are times where I have been really frustrated waiting on God, wanting him to do something right now. God, give me patience and give it to me now. And the truth is that God often puts us in that place where he's working through us and in us. And so if you're struggling today with God's timing, if you think by now I ought to be better at this, or I should be able to do this better, or whatever else, let me invite you to come get some prayer. It might be that you're in a moment where you just simply need to repent, to say to God, God, I've been doing things in my own strength, in my own way, waiting for you to do whatever it is I want done. And so part of the invitation just simply might be that of accepting God's timing and the way that he's working in your life. So let me invite you to come get some prayer. Maybe it's a moment where you say to the person that you're praying with, I just don't know how to do this, but would you pray with me not only that I would have strength to wait on God's timing, but maybe there's some things I need to change in my approach or whatever else. And maybe they might have some suggestions to walk through with you as they pray for you. Second, some of you are in the reaping phase. You're very happy to be sure. I mean, you're seeing the fruit of the things that you've sown, and God is working and blessing you, and you feel joy. Others, you are also reaping what you have sown, and it's not so happy. If you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. If you sow destruction, you reap destruction. And maybe it's that moment of coming into line with what God is doing in your life and hearing his voice. And so maybe this is one of those moments where you recognize that you need to forfeit your plan for God's plan. So I want to invite you to come and get some prayer and look to God for the way that it's doing. What are you going to sow today? How are you going to change the environment and the expectations? How are you going to walk forward from here in his perfect peace, in his perfect presence, and in his power for living? God bless you. I hope you have a great week going out and being the Church of Jesus Christ. See you next week.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. And if you did, there's two things I'd love to ask of you. Number one, would you subscribe to our show? That way, the most recent podcast will be in your feed, ready for you when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you and you'd like to help us continue to reach others, you can click on the link in the description to give now.